So much rides on the shoulders of costume designers. Actors have to look the part, dancers have to be able to move freely, the outfits have to look authentic for the period, and all the time they're taking a hammering every night. Elizabeth Whiting is one of this country's most experienced stage costume designers, and her commitment to her craft has been recognised, having been named as one of the inaugural Out of the Limelight Theatre Award winners. She's been designing since the mid-1980s, and there's a big gallery of photographs of her work on our webpage rnz.co.nz/standingroomonly. Well, Elizabeth's CV is extensive, including designing for the Royal Ballet, New Zealand Opera, Auckland Theatre Companies, as well as Black Grace and the World of Wearable Art. Spectacular. First, though, we talked about costumes designed for the theatre.
I used to say that if people noticed the costumes, I'd failed, but I don't totally think that now. I think that the first impression you have of a character is formed by the costume that they're wearing and their own physicality. So I think it's very important that the costume has to serve the character all the way through the play and let the audience know the time that the piece is set in, the overall feel of the piece. And what I like to do is to get the costumes into rehearsal as early as possible now so that they become part of the character, and so the costume develops along with the rehearsal. So often things will change slightly during that process, and I feel that means that everything is integrated.
So do you quite early on try to establish a connection or a relationship when you can with the actor, and I guess also with the director, because of course the director has a vision?
Absolutely. So the process is that I get together with the director, often the lighting designer and the set designer and sometimes the composer, and we talk and throw ideas around. And so out of that, I develop a design with the group, and then I do like to know the actors or the singers or dancers before I do a finished design for them, because I like to use their physicality and the things that I know about them that they bring to the piece. I like to use that in the design as well. I find it quite hard to design for example, for overseas artists, for the opera company, because often the photographs that you get don't give you a realistic view of their physical size and shape. But also you don't know what to enhance for them. So I do like to keep my actual design drawings quite loose, so that when I meet the actor for the first time, for example, I can talk to them and just watch them maybe in rehearsal a little bit, and then change things, just modify them slightly so that they work. I do like an actor also to personalise their costume, so I'm happy for them to roll their sleeves up if they feel that's right, or add bits and pieces of costume or leave them off at certain times during the play. So with Michael Hirst, for example, with Galileo, I started out the rehearsal period with a three-piece suit, a couple of shirts, a couple of coats, shoes, that sort of thing, for him to take and create a wardrobe, because that's partly his process as well. He develops even his own beard and hair during that rehearsal process, and I like the costumes to be part of that.
Every costume has to work and to move, and for the actor to be able to move comfortably, but of course you do design for dance. There are other rigours that have to be involved in your costume.
Very, very basically, they have to be able to be laundered every night. So there's a process with that that I test when I buy fabrics. I always wet them so that you see if perspiration shows up, because I don't like, well, the dancers don't like either. They don't like the audience to see the fact that they're putting any effort into the performance. So that they also have to have some element of stretch, so that they can do all the extreme movements that they need to do. So
I imagine also the way they catch the light, Elizabeth, and this would be the same for any stage show. That must be important, the way the fabric catches the light, yeah?
Absolutely. And recently we've had a change in lights in the theatre, and I learnt with a very old system, and now we're using much more, I suppose it's LED lighting, and that has a different effect now.
Is it quite harsh? I think of LED being
quite harsh. It's quite harsh, and it does unusual things to colour on stage. And at one point, lighting designers were using the old system and the new system together, and you were never quite sure what was going to happen. I got a shock with one particular piece because I like to use very textured fabrics so that you get a sense of layering when you see the costume, and it just completely washed it out, so you couldn't see anything. And it took me a while to work out exactly how that works now. That's been an interesting process.
Another thing I imagine you have to keep in mind, and I'm thinking dance, but I've seen enough farces in my time, are the quick change. And is that, I mean, we're laughing about it, but it's a really serious thing when actors literally have maybe a minute or so to change. That must be technically one of the more challenging parts of the job, is it?
It's very good fun, though. I've just done a piece for New Zealand Opera for their school show, and they had a young girl, a character, who had to go from a very simple, very restrained little black dress, and suddenly she was in her wedding dress. And so we did a quick change with a lot of loops with my friend Sophie Hamm, who works on World of Wearable Art. So we worked together to create one that we could turn the black dress into a white wedding dress in front of the students' eyes, and that was the first question that was ever asked when they threw the floor open to, what did you like about the piece, and do you have any questions? So, yes, quick changes. Often you'll have a dresser backstage that helps, but I do like those quick change artists that end up with sort of 10 dresses and they can just stand in front of you and pull cords or rip things off and change. I think it's a clever thing to watch.
The assumption would be for a costume designer, Elizabeth, that period work is much more fun than contemporary work. Is that fair?
I don't know. I don't think it is. It's the play that I find the most fun. I think the challenges come out of the play. I do personally read a lot of and research a lot of period costuming. So I've worked with Colin McColl on, say, Mary Stuart, for example, or Anne Boleyn, where we took period costume and then adapted it so that it had a contemporary feel. That's actually my style. That's what I like doing most, and that's what I find most challenging, so that we take the audience on a journey, but one that they can totally relate to. I think contemporary costumes are quite difficult. I think I always bring in people who are perhaps of the group that the play is written around.
I ran out of fingers and toes many times over trying to add up how many shows you've been involved with through theatre and dance and opera, the Prague Quadrennial of Performance Design in 2003. I mean, you know, your CV is massive. So here's a hard question for you. What are some of the most memorable shows? You've got a lot to sift through, but what are some of the most memorable shows that you've been involved with, maybe satisfying or challenging or intriguing, or just ones that come to mind, you know, from your body of work?
I worked with Colin McColl on Equus, and that was an extraordinary process because we were creating horses on stage, and we went out to Jules Topp's farm. She does horse whispering, and she talked us through how you tell what a horse is feeling and how small the movements are. So I realised the less I put on the performers, the more we could see their musculature, the more it would work. But at the same time, I wanted something that sent them into a different realm. So we developed these shoes that had horseshoes on the bottom, so they made a really loud sound, and we mic'd the floor so that as they stampeded, you really heard the sound of their horseshoes. I did Rocky Horror with Simon Prest, and Richard O'Brien came in, and that was very exciting.
Oh, he's such fun, isn't he?
He's a wonderful man, absolutely. The arrival for Red Leap, and we had quite a close relationship with Sean Tan, who was the writer of The Arrival.
One of my favourite New Zealand stage plays. I have such a vivid memory of it.
I do too. Mm. I do too. Yeah. And also Fane Flaws, the Underwater Melon Man. The book was there, so we were working through the book and trying to realise so that when the children went to see it, they would recognise it, but it then had a heightened feel as well.
Yeah, the premier work, Elizabeth, where you're the first person to design a costume, and then if you're doing a production, I don't know, the importance of being earnest, which you have, or the cherry orchard. Do you look at other costumes that have been done previously, or do you prefer not to?
Prefer not to, I would say, as a general rule. Often with something like The Importance of Being Earnest, obviously, I've seen other productions. So the flavour of it might be in the back of my head, but I really do try and come to every single thing fresh. I've done 3 Marriage of Figaro's, I think. So I throw everything away and start again. That's why I like working with the performer and seeing what they're going to bring to the piece. That gives me a new sort of new trigger, I suppose, into the world. And often it's not the same design team either, so you're all throwing new ideas in. But yes, I love it. I love new work. And I love reinterpreting older work. I did The Good Wife of Sichuan for Auckland Theatre Company. And that was amazing because we were using Robin Malcolm, who wouldn't have been the first person that I would imagine in the role of the good woman. But she was amazing and she brought such a different, such veracity to the role. I really, really loved working on that.
What does a Limelight Award mean to you, this kind of recognition? Because this is what it's about, which is putting the spotlight on people without whom live production couldn't happen. But you're not there on stage taking a bow at the end of the show.
I was really, really touched. I can't tell you. It's just amazing. I think I was at a point in my career that I'm thinking sort of where do I take it from now? Do I mentor? What do I do? As I still do work, of course, but, you know, I'm very interested in encouraging other young people into my area because I love it so much. But to have Roger email me and tell me about the award, it was just the most fantastic thing. It just made me smile all day.
When did you start? This is one thing I haven't been able to find out. When were your first designs and how did you get into costume design?
My mother-in-law and father-in-law were working at the Mercury Theatre. My father-in-law was a stage carpenter because he'd always been interested in theatre and he got the opportunity to go and he was a builder and just absolutely loved it. And my mother-in-law, because he was there, she was working in the costume hire department, I think. She'd done a City and Guilds embroiderer's course, so she had always been in that kind of area. I went in to help out on a show because they needed somebody who could sew up banners, I think, and I could sew, and it was university holidays, and I loved it. I walked in, I liked the people, I liked the sense of camaraderie. I'd done my speech and drama ATCL, LTCL, so I had always loved theatre anyway, but from the outside. And so I just felt as if I'd found my tribe. And I went from there. I worked with Eve Schloop and Raymond Hawthorne at Theatre Corporate. And then I moved back to the Mercury Theatre when a vacancy came up there. And I was more working in the wardrobe. I went to AUT and did a production management course because I felt everything was... could be streamlined a bit. And then Raymond gave me the opportunity to do a show upstairs in the Gods at the Mercury. Do you know, I can't remember the name of it. It's so ridiculous. I can remember helping because I did set and costumes. And I can remember helping Gisla Hagen, who was their scenic artist, do plasterboard Art Deco shapes. That's all I can remember about it, which is a little bit embarrassing. Then while I was at the Mercury Theatre, I started working for Lim's Dance Company. And so I designed costumes for dance before I moved back into theatre and then into opera. So that's sort of a short version of how I got into it.
Have you done film work, Elizabeth? Because... these days, with high def and big screens, when I've talked to even makeup artists and special effects artists, you know, they're going, we can't get away with anything anymore.
That's right. I did, in the 90s, early 90s, I did MacPhail and Gadsby and I did Letter to Blanche and all that sort of thing, so TV, and kind of fast turnaround. And I did a couple of made-for-TV American movies, but they were very low budget and they were very much directed from America, so I didn't have very much freedom and I didn't like the process because it went from each department wasn't really consulted. You had to do your own thing and then hand it over to the makeup artist, for example, who did something completely different. And so it wasn't a very creative process for me. So I decided that my passion is performing arts, and it was a good decision because I absolutely love it.
Costume designer Elizabeth Whiting, one of the Out of the Limelight Theatre Award winners for 2021.